Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Oh, yeah. Do you hear those temperatures Alex just talked about? 60 degrees tomorrow, 60 degrees on Sunday. I have a recommendation. Stock up tonight. You want the best in imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And you know that I'm about to tell you that the pickle bar is second to none, because it is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels. Plenty of free parking, plenty of help to get cases out to the car. Sean talked about dusting off the grill this weekend. Well, you want to make sure that the grill has plenty of stock near it. How about that? Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Roads 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day is one legendary announcer announcing a milestone for a legendary player.
Crosby taps it over left side. Getzel to Letang. Letang in front for Crosby. And that's blocked nicely by Wheeler. Crosby fights, gets it back, goes over to Kunitz. Hey! Selfridge scores. Rich Kunitz gets the goal. But more importantly, somebody calls Sinatra. Sid is singing tonight. 1,000 points in his NHL career. Sidney Crosby. What a play by Crosby to get the puck. Amazing.
The legendary Mike Lang announcing the milestone of 1,000 points in just 757 games for the legendary Sidney Crosby. Crosby, by the way, won the game in overtime with a goal on a great feed by Gino Malkin. That's our play-by-play call of the day. Oklahoma State, Penn State Wrestling, Sunday, Stillwater. Pay-per-view on Flow Wrestling, major outlet. Nate Cobbler now joins us from the Saturday Daily Times. Nate, welcome. It's great to have you with us. So, what makes Oklahoma State good?
Well, I guess you could say that they have some really good wrestlers. I mean, you look at their lineup, they got all of their guys that are ranked in the top 10 of their weight classes, other than their 125-pounder. So when you have a mixture of guys that are in, like I said, the top 10 of their weight classes, you're going to be scoring a bunch of points, and it also, you know, helps that you have the returning 141-pound champion in Dean Heil there. And,
right.
Granted, they lost a guy in Alex Deringer, who was obviously a very talented wrestler. So just to be able to, you know, keep bringing in those types of wrestlers that are just going to keep filling in of those other guys that you lose. I mean, it's pretty much the best way you can describe it. And it's the same way that Penn State's doing now with all the recruiting classes that they're pulling in.
I said early on, let Mark Hall be Mark Hall. So what are you seeing in Mark Hall right now that shows you he is on the right track?
Well, Mark Hall is showing why Penn State had recruited him. He's going out there, he's dominating people, he's scoring bonus points, and he's showing why he was a six-time state champion in, you know, Minnesota there. He's comfortable wrestling, and he said that he feels that in his match that he had with Northwestern, I believe is who it was, that he felt that he could compete with anybody after a scramble that he got into in the first period there with a guy. So it just goes to show, you know, that the decision that he made himself to come out of that red shirt was a good decision, and, you know, it now makes Penn State's middle weights, you know, from 149 straight to 184, a murderer's row, you could say.
Yeah, and they have the ability to score a lot of points there. All right, what are, off the top, a couple of swing matchups in this that you're going to find very interesting?
Well, you know, there's not so much, you want to say, swing matches, but a lot of the matches that Penn State is used to getting those bonus points, you know, at 149 pounds and 157 pounds with Rutherford and Nolf, and even with Nickel at 84, those are sort of going to get, you know, neutralized with the guys that, you know, they're going to be wrestling. I read a little bit here from Flow Wrestling, and they feel that, you know, 133 pounds, which obviously is the weakest link in this Penn State lineup, could be a potential swing as far as if, you know, if Oklahoma State's able to get, you know, maybe a fall there, then it could help swing it, the match in the Oklahoma State's favor. But I think if, you know, if they start out 125, which is normal for Cale, that, you know, when you got a guy like Nick Suriana who's coming out there and he's tech falling people, he's major decision in people, and, you know, he's wrestling a guy in Nick Piccinini that's number 11 in the country, but, you know, he's going, Suriano has gone up with several other guys that are ranked higher than him, and he's beat him handily. So I think if they start at 125, Penn State should be fine, but it's just one of those things where you're not going to see a high scoring Penn State team like everybody's used to seeing with all those bonus points.
You talked about the bonus points, Rutherford, Nolf, Nickel. We haven't really talked about any one of the three when we've talked about dual meets. Give me your impression of each guy where you think they might be better this year than they were a year ago when they were dominant then as well.
Well, with Rutherford, I mean, it's so hard to pinpoint where he's gotten better just because he's been that good. I mean, the guy is in the middle of a 53 or 54 match win streak that, you know, spans back to 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so with him, you can't really pinpoint one thing. With Nolf, I mean, he's gotten a lot better of a top wrestler. So once he's getting on the top, he's looking to turn guys more and not just ride them out and, you know, trying to catch them, so to speak. And with Nickel, I mean, he's really become an even more offensive wrestler than what he already was. So, you know, all these guys are constantly improving because that's what the mantra is with Cale, and it's that, you know, have these guys ready at the most important time of the year, which is March and the postseason. And, you know, we were talking to Nick Suriano, you know, not to bring him into the conversation, but we were talking to him, and he said about how the most exciting thing to him was how he's improved as a wrestler. And I asked him, I said, well, how hard is that to say after a high school career that you've had? And he said, you know, it's not as hard to say because you can always get better. So, it's that time of the year now where, you know, the fun begins for them. And to be honest, it's the fun begins for us as, you know, media, because, you know, we get to sit and watch them, you know, beat up on these, you know, Maryland's and Rutgers. And I mean, it's these, you know, these other Big Ten schools, but now it comes to the time where it's the postseason and they get to see other guys. So it'll be fun to watch them wrestle Oklahoma State on Sunday, which obviously it's a rematch of last year's championship that, you know, Penn State won, you know, I'd say handily. I mean, Oklahoma State had a couple guys that didn't wrestle in the match, you know, so we'll see.
This is a pay-per-view matchup. Obviously, we'll carry it on the radio with Jeff Byers. But what does that do for the sport when you've got two heavyweights like this going head-to-head and it's a pay-per-view?
Well, you know, the interesting part about it is originally when it got released, Track Wrestling had a partnership together with NBC Sports Network, and supposedly, you know, the championship goal was supposed to be advertised, or, you know, it's going to be live on NBC Sports Network. So, with that being said, now, being that it's at Oklahoma State, you know, a lot of these different colleges and stuff, they have, you know, affiliates with local programming and stations and stuff like that. And, you know, they fall under Fox Sports, Fox College Sports, and it's being taped delayed locally, I guess, in Oklahoma there on their local Fox channel. So it's definitely not good for the sport. I mean, if you say it in that aspect, because, you know, not some people might not be willing to pay the fee that, you know, Flow Wrestling is going to be, you know, having it live on their website. Some people might not be willing to spend the money to, you know, view that, where, you know, so it's a little bit of a, how did it happen that you come out and say that it's going to be televised live, and then all of a sudden now, as it gets to it, that now it's going to be behind what they call a quote-unquote paywall.
Right. Exactly. When you're trying to promote the sport, this doesn't promote the sport.
No, not at all.
No, it does not do that at all. I want to get to heavyweight for a moment. What kind of bonus, I mean, look, Penn State's been deep all season, but what kind of bonus has it been that they can actually count on points at heavyweight?
Well, not so much just count on bonus points at heavyweight, but to actually have a healthy guy at heavyweight. You know, last year, you know, Nick Nevels was out for most of the year with the right. with the injury that he had, and, you know, they had Jan Johnson come over from the football team that, you know, was wrestling. And but he was hurt for some of the time last year too. So just being able to actually say that they have a healthy heavyweight, you know, is a big thing. But when you got a healthy heavyweight that's scoring bonus points, and, you know, a heavyweight that's scoring 20 points in a match, you know, that's unheard of. Unless you're a guy like Kyle Snyder, who's going out and
right.
you know, beating guys at the Olympic level and the world level and stuff like that. But, you know, to have a heavyweight that, you know, you can get the bonus points from, and, you know, that's actually healthy for once, you know, makes it that much better for a lineup that's already stacked with guys that, you know, you can count on for bonus points.
Nate, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time.
Hey, Steve, thanks. I'm sitting here watching District 6 AA wrestling, so it's a nice little break here. So
very nice. Hey, it's great to have you on board with us, especially when you're covering that too.
All righty, sir. Have a good one.
Dave Cobbler, Center Daily Times. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on Reagan Street, Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. My brother in the final half hour with some picks. Again, I just feel that it just sets the sport back when you have shabby TV coverage of something that's perceived as being big. Ridiculous. I mean, there'll be people that will pay to see it. I mean, that's, you know, that's... But does that promote the sport? Not really. I don't think it does. You know, I'm not going to pay to see it. I mean, I'll follow it online or radio or whatever, but no. It's stuff like that that you're trying to advance the sport, trying to get people into it, interested. And that doesn't do it. But... Hey, it's a choice they made at the beginning of the year. That's what they got.
Well, we're truly lucky, though, to have Jeff Byers, and he'll be calling a great bout on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he'll do a great job like he always does. I'm just saying, this is just not... oh, well. It is... again, you're trying to advance the sport. This doesn't do it. It really, it's as simple as that. Very simple. But Penn State will wrestle it on Sunday. They'll win by probably 25-14. Move on. Hey, speaking of wrestling, different type, but George the Animal Steel passed away at the age of 80. Used to eat turnbuckles. He made an appearance at Medlar Field, Lebrado Park. He was a school teacher for years. School teacher for years. And, you know, and you know, of course, the persona of Georgie Animal Steel was a character to pick up some extra cash on the side. And he really was, when I met him, was a really great guy to deal with. Great guy to deal with. I mean, you know, he'd been a football player and so forth. And here's a guy who had a career, 21-year career. And I know he went to Michigan State. And he just was a, when I met him, I don't know, I want to say 2-3 years ago. Super guy to talk to. And he played football at Michigan State. And he did not play under the name, by the way, of George Steele at Michigan State. His name was Bill Myers. All right. And here's a guy who got a Bachelor of Science degree from Michigan State, a Master's degree from Central Michigan, teacher, amateur wrestling coach, football coach at Madison High School in Madison Heights, Michigan. He actually is a part of the Michigan Coaches Hall of Fame. And, of course, people all remember that he ate turnbuckles.
And we can't forget about the green tongue.
And the green tongue, yes, the green tongue.
Yeah, who'd have thought? I mean, when he was first starting to cut his teeth in wrestling, he was in Pittsburgh.
He was in Pittsburgh at the time, married for a long time. He and his wife got married in 1956 and had three children. He finally died in hospice this week. He had kidney failure. At one point, he'd been diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And I was talking to him about that when he was here. I mean, but again, this is a guy that, you know, he understood the persona of it. He also understood to turn it off in a second and be Bill Myers again.
One of Mike DeCourcy's colleagues at the Sporting News, Alex Marvez, he did a write-up about 10 or 12 years ago on George Steele, and George was saying, when he was first getting into the wrestling business, the pro wrestling business, he didn't think it was going to last 6 weeks. He kept telling his wife, "I'll be home before you know it, no trouble." But who'd have thought that he would capture the heart of the pro wrestling world?
Right. Well, exactly. No, and he did a lot of work with Bruno Sammartino along the way. And like I said, I had a chance to actually meet him, right, and sit down and spend, I don't know, an hour with him. This was a really an outstanding entertainer who knew the entertainment value of what he was doing and how to do it. Also a highly intelligent man of a wide variety of interests. And his ability to turn on the character and turn off the character, he could do it in a heartbeat. You know, one second he's George the Animal Steel, the next second he's Bill Myers, and he is one of the great teachers in the state of Michigan. And a true believer in education. He was a devout Christian as well. And, you know, he did a little bit of acting along the way. You know, and he picked up some royalties. I guess there's a video game called SmackDown. He's in that. He was almost 80 years old. Almost 80 years old. George the Animal Steele. I mentioned he got married in 1956. His wife is still alive. They were married for almost 61 years. Uh-uh.
What trivia question will your brother throw at us today?
Maybe it's about George the Animal Steel being referenced in Seinfeld. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Man hands. Jerry complains about in the episode of Man Hands in Bizarro Jerry. I feel like I'm dating George the Animal Steel. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Six more weeks of winter? Not here at Sunbury Motors Kia.
We wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
The president of Sunbury Motors just signed an executive order proclaiming it's spring selling season. And these deals will more than warm your heart. Sunbury Motors Kia has 80 new Kias to choose from. 2016 Optima starting at $17,999. A 2016 Forte EX for $15,999. And three 2016 Rio EXs, your pick for $14,999. There's also financing as low as 0% for up to 60 months. And of course, Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Our president has spoken. Spring has sprung at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is, yes, all together now, second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Our thanks to Mike DeCourcy, BTN, and Sporting News for being on the show today. Tuesday, Joe Lenardi on the show. Joey Brackets will join us, old friend, on Tuesday. And Thursday, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, trying to get all of us to buy Chargers season tickets. All right, let's bring in the great mystic from the East himself. The seer all seers, the sage of all sages, my brother.
Hello, brother. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm doing as good as a man can do.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Hey, I got a, not a trivia question, a topic question, interesting question. Right. What is more impressive, San Antonio Spur run over 20 years, the New England Patriots run over 15 years, Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s run as a boxer over many years, or the UConn women winning 100 games in a row and basically 147-1 in their last 148 games? What do you guys think is the most impressive?
Well, okay. They're really all different. San Antonio and New England are probably more close together because of their ability to keep the core group together for a long period of time and build around it.
The consistency is incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
Mayweather, I don't think he fought anybody worth a darn.
Yeah, Pacquiao, he waited. He waited until Pacquiao took a few beatings before he would fight him. He'd make up, you know, drug excuses and every excuse to put it off.
And
so
I just
kind of controlled his destiny.
And you know, and Mayweather, look, he's not an exciting guy to watch box. You're like, okay, can you knock somebody out?
Yeah.
And his and his out of the ring persona is not great.
No,
it's awful. No. UConn women. What's impressive about them overall is to win 11 national championships over a 21, now 22 season span and do it with a consistently changing cast all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes that one, you know, so impressive. The fact that over a long period of time, the cast changes. It has to. It's college basketball.
Right.
And, you know,
this
that might be
a good example.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
no.
Penn State in women's volleyball won 109 in a row.
Wow.
And in talking with Russ Rose about that, and this is why I don't understand why Geno doesn't get certain questions. I mean, we get all the la-di-da, la-di-da. Look, ask him something philosophical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What does it take? And I asked Russ this one time. I said, Russ, what does it take to convince each team that they're not trying to go 47 or 63 or whatever, that they're a new team, a new entity that starts 0-0 each year and then get the most out of that particular team? What does it take, even with carryover personnel, to make them think that way? That's what I'd like to know. Right. He said that's one of the biggest challenges as a coach.
Yeah.
To convince them that they are an entity unto themselves and not a carryover from the year before, so that they stay hungry and don't get fat and sassy.
Yeah. And Geno
I never hear anybody ask Geno that question. I'm like,
he's been asked. Yeah. His answer is always, they won those games, you didn't. You know,
right.
They did. That's what they did. What are you going to do? You know, they're great. They won a national championship. You didn't. You guys didn't, you know. Or they put that record together. You didn't, you know.
And Geno and Russ are friends. I mean, Geno and Russ have been friends for a long time.
Duck any questions.
I'm saying he didn't duck the question. I never hear him ask the question.
Yeah, locally he's been asked.
But, you know, I mean, Geno's got, like, for example, we're going to have Joe Lenardi on the show on Thursday, or Tuesday, I mean. And Joe, of course, is the color analyst for St. Joe's basketball. Phil Martelli, and I've known Phil, 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. He really might be the best friend in the coaching profession that Geno has.
Yeah, yeah. That and the guy from DePaul. He coaches with them on the Olympic team. I forgot his name.
All right.
Yeah. They're very, very close. So he's brought them to every Olympic team.
I think that with the changing personnel, you know, that's been the, I think that's a greater challenge because the personality of each team changes.
You know the name that's never mentioned?
It's Chris Daly. Chris Daly.
Well, Chris Daly for sure. I was going to bring her up. That's the consistency that he's got. The same assistant coaches, the same, you know, he keeps his family together. And she could have coached anywhere, and she stayed.
Oh, no, she was offered the Penn State job once.
Huh?
She was offered the Penn State job once.
Really? And she stayed with Geno.
Yeah.
There's one individual who is a, I wouldn't say household name, but I'm sure a lot of the listeners know who she is, who is the sole reason for UConn's fame, and that would be Rebecca Lobo.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, Lobo could have played anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
UConn stunk. They were an average team. They went to the tournament a couple, maybe once, but they were not a good academic college whatsoever. Her parents were teachers. They did not want her to go to UConn. She had to fight them to go to UConn. Geno signed her in the parking lot of Southwick High School.
Yeah.
And nobody could believe if she could have gone to, she had straight A student. She could have gone to Notre Dame on a free ride, Stanford on a free ride, Tennessee on a free ride. She was the number one player in the country, a high school player. And she picked UConn. And when she picked UConn, she carried all these other players with her.
Yeah.
The next year, Jen Rosati came. Pam Weber came with her.
From
Carol Walters came because she played against Lobo in high school. She said, if Lobo's going to Connecticut, I'm going to Connecticut. Right. Rebecca Lobo built that program, and not only built the Connecticut program to this date, changed the school academically. Right. She is a fascinating woman. And she, you know, you see her on TV doing the... But without Rebecca Lobo, we wouldn't be talking about UConn with 100 straight wins.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Kerry Bascom was really the first star, and then she came in, and when she came in, it changed everything.
Yeah, right. She just brought so many people with her, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, and you need to have somebody that wants to take that chance.
Yeah.
And that's with any program that's on the rise. There's always that, and that's why we're looking at, for example, men's basketball here at Penn State. I think a lot of people feel that Tony Carr, Lamar Stevens, and Mike Watkins, those three freshmen, are the three that took the chance on Penn State and can bring them maybe to the next level. And I think that's what they're looking for, because they actually could have gone anywhere. I mean, Tony could have gone to any school. Stevens, I mean, Indiana wanted Stevens so badly. And, you know, as we had Mike DeCourcy on the previous hour, he said, look, those three guys are fabulous.
Mm. And so, see, I thought they made that move back with the, remember the brothers?
Oh, the Crispin brothers? The Crispin brothers were not highly recruited.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, Penn State was playing on a high level then. They had the center. Yeah. He was great. They had some great players on that team, and they were fun to watch. And it would be a school I'd want to go to and play ball, you know.
Right.
They were well-coached. They were, you know, it was. And then it just dwindled back down again.
Could never get more than five really good players at once here.
Uh-huh.
Right now you feel like they've got seven. And the door's open to actually a couple more guys coming in.
He's been able
to get into Philadelphia. See, that's the key with Watkins, Stevens, and Carr. They're all Philadelphia guys. And Penn State's never been able to get into Philadelphia. Because the recruiting landscape between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, no offense, is not exactly a pool of deep talent.
I may be wrong, but I believe this. The success of the football team will help the basketball team.
Well, we hope. We'll see. We'll see. I think, you know, in some ways they're separate entities, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But it certainly is going to make my job a lot more fun moving forward. I got a real feeling about both of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Penn State plays well on TV. What I mean plays well, it looks like a school I want to go to.
Yeah.
The whiteouts, the things like that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and I mean, they're still 18-year-old kids. I want to go to a place where I can play and enjoy it, too, you know.
Right.
And it comes across that way. Look at the demise of the UConn basketball team went along with the demise of the football team. You know, all of a sudden the football team stinks, and they're not getting the players they were getting before.
Right.
So, anyway, just food for thought.
All right. All right, Sean, we've got games to pick.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We got a nice little triple play of games for tomorrow.
Last place.
How about this? Look who's on top. 4-0. Yours truly.
Sean,
thanks,
the guru.
Thanks to Northwestern and their win at Whiskey last Sunday.
Yeah.
I went 4-0. Stefano, 3-1. And Kev, you're 2-2. So
I'm in last place.
Yeah, but you're 2-2. So.
It's a view from the bottom is tough.
I know. This is rare for you.
Believe me.
If I need advice, I'll call Steve.
Believe me, if you're not the lead dog, the view does not change.
All right, so the three games we're going to pick, they're all nationally televised this weekend, so find a TV, especially tomorrow, 1 o'clock, CBS, the Big 12 showdown between Kansas and Baylor. And I guess since I'm in first, I'll go first. Kansas, they had quite the game Monday night against West Virginia. They came back big time.
They should have lost that game.
Yeah, I mean, they came back. I mean, people were walking out of Allen Fieldhouse with 2:40 left, stormed back, and they were able to keep it rolling in overtime. I'm taking Baylor just for the fact with it being, I think these two are very even. Just because of it being home court, I'll go with Baylor.
Okay. I guess I go next?
Sure.
They played the first time 2.5 weeks ago, and Kansas at Fog Allen won by 5. Here's the biggest problem Baylor has, and this is a big problem. They turn the ball over way too much. And that is a big problem. I mean, they are dead last in the Big 12 in turnover margin. And that is, in my opinion, that's an issue. Especially against a team like Kansas that takes advantage of such things. How did they beat West Virginia the other night? Turnovers. I'll go with Kansas on the road.
I tossed this one up in the air. At first, I was going with Baylor because they were home. Evenly matched teams, no question. Kansas had an impressive win over Kentucky, and the fact that they came back against West Virginia, which is a very good team, top 10 team. I'm going to go with Kansas also because I think Kansas plays good in big games. I think Baylor, and I hate saying this as a whole, is an undisciplined athletic program.
Yes. Yep.
Not just basketball, totally. And they will, and that leads to turnovers. That leads to sloppy play. And against good teams, you can't play sloppy. And so I'm taking Kansas.
Okay, prime time tomorrow night, ESPN. You've got Virginia at Chapel Hill taking on UNC. That's a 14-10 matchup. And I'm going to go with UNC, North Carolina.
Virginia doesn't have enough offense to win a game like this. They just don't. I mean, I love how they play defensively, but they don't have enough offense to pull this thing off. I mean, you look at North Carolina. North Carolina's offensive efficiency is off the charts. I mean, they are number one in the ACC in offensive efficiency so far this year. And, you know, and then you've got Virginia. Well, Virginia is quite the opposite. They're number two in defensive efficiency. But they drag. This is all about pace. They average 22 seconds of possession. Oh, my goodness. Nobody does that.
Tractor pull?
Oh, they are the ultimate. They're the ultimate tractor pull. It's like being out at the farm show.
I just got it. It takes me a little while. I
mean, it's like being at the farm show.
These people
are unbelievable. North Carolina win the game at Chapel Hill. They'll be close. But they'll win. First team to 70 wins.
I took North Carolina. Of all things, Virginia, I get home late, and I've heard Virginia on the radio at least 3 times this year. And it starts off what a great team they are, and then halfway through the first half, they're saying, what's wrong with them? You know, and I just, North Carolina is coming off a big win against North Carolina State. They're in the driver's seat in the ACC, and they're going to continue their drive. I think they win this game easily.
And we've got a Sunday game, 1 o'clock. It is Maryland at Wisconsin, and that's a 23-11 matchup. Wisconsin hasn't had that really good of a week. How they lost to Northwestern last Sunday night. Last night, Michigan upsets them 64-58. I can't see them losing 3 in a row. I'm going to go with the Badgers. So they'll enjoy some home cooking tomorrow. Or Sunday, I should say.
Well, a lot of this is about Bronson Koenig. He didn't play last night, and he played hurt the game before. They can get him back. It helps. The game's at Cole. Melo Trimble broke out, had a big game in their win over Northwestern. But Melo's been kind of up and down to me. I'm going to take Wisconsin at home, which is the game that cost me last week, by the way. Darn them.
Yes. Well, they very rarely lose at home.
It's
no kidding. You want to know how many wins I've announced at Cole Fieldhouse? No, you want to know how many? Zero.
Penn State, zero. Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't just lose to Northwestern. They got killed. And I got to do a little catch-up. I'm going to take a chance and take Maryland because Wisconsin is struggling right now. And it's hard to get out of a funk. Penn State beat Michigan. There's something going on with them, and so this will be my game to try and catch up.
Well, there
you go.
Another reason why I'm thinking Wisconsin, too, it's like, you know, it's that back-to-back road.
Right.
Back-to-back road trips for, you know, for Big Ten team. Going back out to the Midwest, you know, two times in, what, less than 5 days.
You think that plays a factor? You think?
I'm not having a lot of hot takes here to wrap up the week.
You don't think going to Purdue on a Saturday and then going to Wisconsin on a Tuesday?
That's what I was thinking.
Or like going to Illinois on a Saturday and then going to Nebraska on a Tuesday?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. You just described my darn life.
I'm tired of going South Windsor to Enfield. It's wearing me down.
If it's one thing, it shows I'm paying attention.
But that's okay. When they get up and make the big speech before everybody and tell them how much they care about the student athlete, I will remember it.
How do they even go to school?
We fly back on a charter. We get back from Nebraska at 3:00 in the morning on Wednesday. Which means the players, if I walked in my house at 3, they probably got back in the Jordan Center into their apartment by 3:30. They had to be at 9:00 class.
Yeah, that is just going to be hard.
But that's okay. We care about the student athlete.
Jesus.
Okay?
Hey, you can go to Kentucky and take 2 classes,
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Delaney on how much he cares about the student athlete.
Kentucky does. The guys
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. They take canoeing and sailing
your
the first
Cal.
Semester.
Your boy Cal. There you go.
That's right.
Yeah. He's not my buddy.
That's my sin.
He's a cheater.
Oh.
If I met him, I'd challenge him to a fist fight. Well, no, I wouldn't.
He's kind of a tough guy. No, I'm just kidding.
he cheats. And he cheats everywhere he goes. And he stretches the rules to suit himself. And he went to the NBA, and what happened? He got slapped around. And he said, this is no good. They won't listen to me. So he leaves, you know. He found a niche in the system here. But.
Okay, so, all right.
Whatever.
I'm
He's
sitting
a
here.
Cheater.
Put it this way:
UConn went on probation because some of their players weren't getting good enough grades and playing.
True.
Kentucky, they take 2 classes the first semester that are like canoeing and sailing or something like that, and then the second semester they take 2 more classes and they don't even finish the school year out.
What do you have against canoeing and sailing? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I told them I got A's. That's the only way I got
That's exactly right.
That's what got my cube up.
There you go.
D-D-C-A-A.
The voice of experience. All right.
Ask weaving now. I'll take canoeing.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. I think we'll wrap it up for the week.
We will. Enjoy, gentlemen.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. And I am gone.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.